This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1329. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded September 19th, spy letters from Cuba, station news from Brazil, future plans from Poland, Armenia, Belarus, Algeria, Japan, monitoring the coup in Thailand, chasing sound of hope, and the propagation outlook. Remember that excellent series, O'Reilly on Advertising? It ran a year ago on CBC Radio 1. Well, now Terry O'Reilly is back with a new series on a related subject called Terry O'Reilly and the Age of Persuasion. Unfortunately, we didn't hear about it till it had already started, but it's now on CBC Radio 1 twice a week in local time. That is an hour apart as the time zones march across Canada. It's Thursdays at 11:30 a.m. and repeated Saturdays at 4 p.m. on CBC Radio 1. Now, on shortwave, it's carried on RCI at 1531 UT Thursdays on 9515, 13655, and 17800. Domestically, on CBC Radio 1, the first broadcast is at 1430 UT Thursdays in the Atlantic Zone, and then add 1, 2, 3, or 4 hours as you choose which web stream you want to listen to. Likewise, on Saturdays, the first airing is after the 1900 UT News. On the IRCA list, Barry McLarnon in Ottawa explains how to tell apart the two Canadian X-band stations, low power, on 1610. The Toronto station is now CHHA, but they're a fair bit off frequency. He measured them on 1610.048. That could be helpful in identifying them. Programming in Spanish with lots of music and slogans Radio Voces Latinas. They did a call sign ID he heard at 0330 UT. The other one, CJWI in Montreal, has more talk. It's French-Haitian programming, very close to the nominal channel, just a tad below 1610. And as J.D. Stevens noted, they also identify with what is not really a Canadian call sign, the abbreviation CPAM, of course always pronounced in French. Here's yet another major Canadian AM station applying to move to FM. CKPR 580 in Thunder Bay wants to move to FM 91.5, the application filed with the CRTC. Thanks to Dean McIntyre in Alberta for keeping us up to date with all these. It'll be 100 kilowatts on FM, but of course with considerably less reach than 5 kilowatts on AM 580, that low in the band. Bruce Carter says it is a shame. The 580 signal has a monster footprint, really important in a sparsely populated area like that part of Canada and Michigan's Upper Peninsula, not well served by radio. Paul Lafreniere in Grand Marais, northern Minnesota, says CKPR is Thunder Bay's last AM station. CBQ and CJLB went to FM long ago. The new edition for 2006 and 7 of the National Radio Club AM Log has now been published. It's an excellent reference of all the AM stations in the United States and Canada. Primary listing is in frequency order and then under each frequency in geographical order. There are 278 pages of data and cross-references and 18 pages of instructions. It's 8.5 by 11, three-hole punched, loose leaf, so supply your own 1-inch three-ring binder. There have been nearly 6,000 updates since last year's edition. Thanks to editor Wayne Heinen for sending us a copy. The NRC AM radio logbook is now available. You can order it if you're in the U.S. for $25.95. In Canada, it's $27.95. I assume that means U.S. funds. Elsewhere, $29.95. There are lower rates for members, but they already know about this. Order from National Radio Club Publications, P.O. Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. If you want priority shipping in the U.S. and Canada, add $2.50. You can also order via the website, www.nrcdxas.org. Rich Tobey in California reports to IRCA that 690 Tijuana has changed its ID to XEWR, now broadcasting all in Spanish. Had it, of course, been XETRA. But it's still not entirely clear whether this is a legal call sign change or whether it's just a slogan, because there's already an XEWR on the list on 1110 in Ciudad Juarez. And the 690 website does not give any call sign at all. I ran across, on modulated CW, a spy station on 5930 kilohertz. I know it's a spy station because only 10 letters were used, so each letter substitutes for a number, which we ordinarily hear with strong AM transmitters from Cuba. These usually adhere to a strict schedule, but not necessarily at the same time every night. So far, I've run across it during the 0700 UT semi-hour on a Sunday and at 0500 on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And, of course, these are right next to WWCR on 5935. Last week, we mentioned Radio Amazonas in Puerto Ayacucho, Venezuela, which appears to be the only remaining shortwave broadcasting station from Venezuela. It had been heard on September 9th, and another report has reached us of it being on the air September 8th at 0915 past 0940, says Brian Alexander, Pennsylvania, on 4939 and 2/3. Fair level, he says, but somewhat distorted audio. If you hear Radio Nacional de Venezuela, which is quite easy to hear, it's not really coming from Venezuela, but transmitted from Cuba. Keeping up with its schedule changes depends solely on monitoring, because their website is never updated. We're not aware of any accurate schedule published anywhere. So, it was a particular interest when we got a report of the 2000 UT broadcast on the air again, being heard on 17705. That's according to Isaac Rosa in Ceará, Brazil, on the Radio Escudas list. Excellent reception, in fact. And this one is beamed toward South America. We also heard it a few days later at 20 UT on 17705. That used to collide with the Voice of Greece via Delano, but that is long gone, so now it's in the clear. And the other three frequencies once used at that hour for Venezuela via Cuba are still not heard. By the way, Venezuela greets listeners in a rather strange way, calling them users, both masculine and feminine, usuarios y usuarias. Kai Ludwig, who is, of course, a native speaker of German, says, when tuning around after 1700, I was confused by a transmission on 6015. What's this? Religion in Dutch? It took me almost a minute to realize it was not Dutch, but Low German, and remembering that it's simply HCJB via Vertachtel. The irony is that HCJB most likely offers more programming in Low German than any other broadcaster. I'm aware of only a few broadcasts from Norddeutscher Rundfunk, but much less than half an hour every day from HCJB. Everyday usage of Low German in Northern Germany is diminishing at a worrying speed. And I said, are there more Low German speakers outside Germany than inside now? No doubt this is primarily for isolated immigrant groups such as Mennonites in Latin America. And Kai replies, that's indeed the primary target. It's remarkable they even put this on shortwave for Europe. The number of speakers in Germany is hard to tell, but the situation is basically that young people simply do not use Low German anymore. It is considered uncool. Alex Vannis in West Virginia was surprised to hear a Brazilian on 11750, where none are listed according to some references. This was at 2245 UT. It was parallel to many others, since that was during the Voz do Brasil program most stations have to carry. Well, this is or was Radio Marumbi, which appears in some listings, such as IB on 11750. It may be on the air 24 hours, but it is apparently irregular and quite low-powered. Then we see a report in Celio Mai's panorama column from Domingos Alfredo Loche, who saw on the Anatel website, the government agency controlling broadcasting in Brazil that a change of city had been granted for Rádio Marumbi on this and on 9665. It's no longer in Florianópolis, but in another town in Santa Catarina State, Balneário Camboriú. Isaac Rosa also found out that although it's nominal 1 kilowatt, they were actually running only about half that power. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal managed to hear them, nevertheless, slightly off frequency, 11749.8 at 21 UT with a missionary voice program. And even more about this from Isaac Rosa on the Radio Escutas list, these two frequencies have not only changed town, but changed ownership. No longer Rádio Marumbi, but it's been sold to the Gideon Evangelical Church, but we're not sure exactly what the station is called now. Wilby Garcia in Brazil points out that a presidential election is coming October 1st, and there is an obligatory electoral advertising program. All radio and TV stations have to establish a network to air this electoral program. All parties and candidates have their share of time, depending on their representation in Congress. So the time could range from only 30 seconds to 15 minutes. The hours set aside for this are from 10 to 10:50 and 15 to 15:50 UT. However, it seems that Radio Nacional da Amazônia 11780 has not been carrying the regional electoral programming because it considers itself a national station. They've confined themselves to electoral propaganda on behalf of President Lula, otherwise filling the time with looping announcements but not actual electoral campaign material from other candidates. That's according to Lucio Heiser in Brasilia, who says there appears to be no legal basis for doing that. As winter approaches, a reminder that there is one low-power and very difficult to DX shortwave station in Greenland. Aker Peterson in Denmark has heard it again, already on September 16th, 3815 kilohertz. Kanalit Nunata Radio, in upper sideband, fading in at 2050 UT and signing off at 2110. With some announcements in Greenlandic, local songs, interval signal, and news in Danish on the hour. On at least two different occasions, I've noted an echo, a quick one, on a Radio France International frequency, 7135, around 0530 UT, of course, in French. However, listings show only one transmitter in Issoudun is supposed to be operating at that time. But I suspect there is a second one, and they're not precisely synchronized as they should be. Could be from another relay site such as Gabon, or maybe South Africa. I wonder if others are hearing this echo. In this case, I doubt that it is a matter of long path echoing against short path. Radio France International has been trying a medium wave relay from near Monaco to serve North Africa. 702 kilohertz, which I guess had been off the air for a while, was heard again, running 600 kilowatts between 18 and 22 UT. As we reported last week, however, it terminated on the 13th of September, says Christian Gibodo in nearby Nice. Just had been a test transmission. Thanks to Dario Monferini for passing that on. Bob Zanotti tells me there's a new one-hour chat among him, Bob Tolman, and Ian McFarland at SwitzerlandInSound.com. You're listening to World of Radio number 1329. Our thanks this week for financial support. A check in the mail, go to Fred Hogaboom in Granby, Connecticut, N1KWW. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702 USA. Or if you prefer PayPal, the address to use is WORADIO at yahoo.com. More info at our website, worldofradio.org. And a slightly belated happy 19th anniversary to Radio for Peace International. Joe Bernard reminds us, we're still here after all these years. Webcasting via www.rfpi.org. Progressive programs, including World of Radio, Fridays at 2000 UT and Mondays at 1800, each repeating every 4 hours. Back to Europe now in our whirl around the world. Henry Clements forwards news from Slavic Chefs of Radio Polonia. There are hopes of hitting you with our signal from the new transmitter sites, by the time of the winter time change. They're about to replace their obsolete shortwave transmitting facilities. Negotiations underway with the two top players of the international relaying market. So that apparently means the relay sites would be in Germany, France, or the UK to be announced shortly. Jean-Michel Aubier in France tells DX Listening Digest that Public Radio of Armenia, also known as Voice of Armenia, has a new website, but many of the links are not working yet. It's int.armradio.am. Eric Kuya in Denmark says it seems they only have news on demand, but not the rest of the program nor a live feed. This may be in preparation for their expected close down on shortwave, perhaps at the end of October, but our DX Listening Digest and World of Radio contributors in Europe confirm that they're still very much active so far as of September 18th, including the broadcast at 1830 to 1930 UT on 9960, the last third in English. Chris Greenway in the UK says, I was briefly in Baku and can report that Radio Dada Gorgud is still on the air, barely. I heard it various times, including the only English transmission at 17 UT on medium wave 1296, which, by the way, is now on channel instead of 1 kHz low, and approximately 6111 on shortwave. Audio quality is poor, the signal surprisingly weak, even in Baku. In the evening, it was suffering interference from the IBB transmitter in Afghanistan on 1296. Strength on 6111 was poor, but that might be because he was in the skip zone. And he confirmed that they are still identifying in English as Radio Dada Gorgud, the voice of Azerbaijan. Via Kai Ludwig news from Dr. Hans-Jörg Wiener that Radio Stancia Belarus has expanded its German language programs. Now 1 hour a day at 18 UT, and then there are 2 hours of English at 19 to 21 UT. Since September 1st, the frequencies are 7440, 7390, 7105, and medium wave 1170. Those broadcasts are, of course, for Europe, but what about North America? They had been running a half-hour English broadcast, but not every day of the week and not at the same time every day of the week. I cannot find anything definite about their North American service at www.tvr.by. If you listen to them during supposedly Belarusian broadcasts, you may actually be hearing Russian. Sergei Nikishin in Moscow explains, the language of Belaruskaya radio programs is actually a mix of Belarusian and Russian. Typically, announcers use Belarusian, and interviewed persons, etc., speak Russian. Via media network, BBC Mandarin quotes Algerian radio on September 18th that, according to a news conference by the director general, the station is technically backward and operating with an analog rather than digital system. However, they're going to upgrade and will be adding broadcasts in French, Spanish, and English to raise Algeria's international profile as well as Arabic. The new channel will be allocated a significant budget, which has not been revealed. The word shortwave is never mentioned in this story, so don't get your hopes up. Regarding the Polisario station for Western Sahara, this update from Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal on September 19th. Sometimes the only active outlet is 1550 medium wave. He observed that from 06 until sign-off at 08, but 7460 shortwave had been off the air September 17th through 19th. These observations from Noel Green in the UK. On Sunday, September 17th, Afro Pops booming in nonstop on 17630 from at least 1430 until suddenly off at 1529. Something was underneath but could not be identified. However, the Afro Pops cut the carrier and he heard a burst of Firedrake. What's that doing involved with this? Perhaps getting ready for the BBC in Uzbek at 1600. He says, I've not heard this previously. A ridiculous and unnecessary clash. Africa number one was not operating when the Afro Pops went off, but after about a minute or so, a carrier appeared at slightly less strength than the Pops, and then Africa number one programming came up. So does this confirm our assumption that Gabon is the source of the Afro Pops jamming clandestine Saud al-Amal versus Libya? I think it does. Another DEVNET LOGAN QSL of the very low-powered Radio Kahuzi in Bukavu, Congo DR. Yari Savonainen in Finland says, on September 11th, tune in at 16:53, station talking with religious music on 6209 and two-thirds, mainly choral music until a closing announcement, and off at 17:06, seemed to be in Swahili. Mano Ritola in Finland also was listening at the same time. We both sent reception reports to Radio Kahuzi on September 13th, received email verifications from Bukavu with a promise of a printed QSL from the home offices in California. They gave the schedule, presumably local time, which in UT would be Mondays and Fridays only, 07 to 11, 12 to 14, and 16 to 17, but the sign-off time varies. And a senator of Radio Netherlands tells us, although RN was not directly involved in transmitting the new Iranian target station, Radio Samaneh, on 6245, it did give them assistance in arranging for the transmissions via Russia or the former Soviet Union. In the past week, there have been many more reports of it, especially from Europe, where it has quite a strong signal between 17 and 21 UT. And the other Iranian clandestine mentioned last week on 4044, Yari Savolainen in Finland has identified as Voice of the Struggle of Iranian Kurdistan, although when he heard it on September 14th, after 16 UT, it was jumping around 4025, 4050, and 4060 to avoid jamming. He heard the ID on 4050 at 16:35 in Kurdish. Now that SLBC Sri Lanka is again operating in the local evenings on 15745, I was pleased to hear it with South Asian music. Only fair, but at least with no interference from WEWN at 1318 UT. WWN comes on at 1400. I'm recording a few hours after the coup in Thailand was first reported. Naturally, shortwave listeners started tuning in Radio Thailand to see what they were saying about it. There was an English broadcast, September 19th, at 19 UT on 7155 audible in Europe, but nothing was said about the coup. According to Jose Miguel Romero, nor was there anything in the following broadcasts in French or German on 9680 after 2000 UT, nor English at 2030, says Kai Ludwig. They no doubt record those broadcasts earlier since they're in the middle of the night in Thailand. But it should be very interesting to monitor further broadcasts from Thailand on shortwave, assuming they are unimpeded. The other English times are at midnight to midnight 30 on 9570 to Europe and Africa, midnight 30 to 1 and 02 to 0230, note the time, both on 5890 to North America, the first relayed from Greenville and the second from Delano. Then at 5:30 to 6, 17655 to Europe. And the other two, although for Asia-Pacific, are often audible in Western North America, 12:30 to 13 on 9835 and 14 to 14:30 on 9830. Mark Schiffelbein in Missouri pulled that schedule out of their website before it went down. CNN reported that with the coup, foreign news sources were blocked from Thai cable TV, CNN, BBC, CNBC, and Bloomberg at least. This may have also affected FM relays by foreign stations which had them, such as VOA, at least temporarily. Thailand is also home to powerful shortwave relay bases of the BBC and the IBB. No word initially about whether their operations were interrupted. There are several websites of Radio Thailand. I just brought one up, www.hsk9.com. On September 19th, Ulla Om in Sweden was hearing Sound of Hope on 14600 with no Firedrake jamming at 1320 UT. He was also hearing a weak signal, possibly Sound of Hope, on 17350. Meanwhile, Hugh Stegman in California had reported to the Spooks Group via Steve Lair of Firedrake on a new frequency, 10,200 kilohertz at 19 UT with a 5-minute pause. So that may be another new frequency for Sound of Hope or some other jamming victim. Kai Ludwig in Germany says that first reports about cuts at Radio Japan seemed ambiguous. Would English and Japanese to Europe and North America be reduced or eliminated? Then he heard a broadcast on August 13th of their German service saying indeed that shortwave to Europe and North America will be canceled entirely, that is, at the end of October next year. We're also expecting a lot of protests from their loyal German listeners, one of the languages to be cut, along with Italian, Swedish, and Malay. In Japan Premium, Iwao Nagatani reports that rare Philippine station, Radio Ungbayan, on 6169.8, September 10th at 0939 to 1000, with an ID at 0946 during a phone interview in Tagalog, the Philippine Broadcasting Service. The controversy about journalists working for Radio Marti on the side has spread to VOA. The Hartford Courant has told its bureau chief in Washington he can no longer appear as a panelist on The Voice of America. David Lightman had been appearing frequently on issues in the news, receiving a nominal stipend of $100. And say he forwarded that from the Hartford Courant. KimAndrewElliott.com says the producers of Issues in the News and other VOA programs who pride themselves as journalists use these payments to attract print reporters who will make these programs more compelling. Indeed, Issues is a popular VOA program because of the caliber of the discussion. No one from any U.S. administration ever told VOA to hire this or that journalist to make this or that point in support of U.S. policy. So this story is more complex than just government-paying reporters. Rumors were flying that Air America was about to declare bankruptcy, although that would not necessarily put them out of business. Just look at all those airlines. In any event, on September 18th, they adopted a new talk schedule, saying goodbye to the likes of Jerry Springer. Although they're still syndicating him, it seems, to other stations, the Eastern Time 9 a.m. to noon block on weekdays is now filled by Sam Cedar, his former co-host in the evening already having departed, Janine Garofalo. David Bender, who had been on only on the weekends, now gets to be on every weeknight with 1 hour of his politically direct show at 8 p.m. Eastern. WVON, the black talk station in Chicago, 1450, officially made the move up the dial to 1690 on September 18th. Replacing the oldies format on WRLL, but it was entirely unclear, since this is an LMA, this 1690 is still owned by Clear Channel, whether the legal call sign would remain WRLL. With WVON gone from 1450, that's presumably occupied full-time by its former share-time partner, WCEV. First special medium wave DX test of the season is scheduled early Sunday, October 1st, from WNJC 1360 in Vineland, New Jersey, from midnight to 4 a.m. Eastern, 04 to 08 UT, including Morse code and sweep tones and voice IDs. Propagation outlook from Boulder issued September 19th. Solar activity very low to low. Geomagnetic field mostly quiet to unsettled. A and K indices peaking at 20 and 4 September 28th and October 1st, down to 5 and 2 starting October 4th. Solar flux rising slowly from 75 September 20th to 80 October 1st through 14th. Thus concludes the 1,329th World of Radio. I'm Glenn Hauser.